So we thought it'd be really good, before we've really got started with the morning, to let you know why we chose to do the morning service on the following. So the whole morning is going to be based around 1 Peter 2, verses 3 to 5. And the reason for that is because God spoke. Well, we believe that God spoke and spoke to us all as a church. Going back in February, a crazy group of ladies and I decided that it would be good to do a seven-day fast and to spend as much time as possible praying and being in God's presence. So we started on the Sunday evening, went to bed. This is me, went to bed, slept. I woke up, looked at my phone, and it was 2:35. The next day, Monday, went to bed, slept, woke up, again, it was 2:35. So, didn't think anything of it. Tuesday came and went to bed, didn't plan on waking up, but I woke up and, as you probably guess, the time I woke was 2:35. Straight away, I was wide awake, straight away, it was kind of okay, so God, what are you telling me? What's this about? And without even thinking, I knew straight away that I needed to be looking at my Bible. I needed to be going to 1 Peter chapter 2 and got to verses 3 and 5. And the reason for prayer and fast, I forgot to say that, but the reason for praying and fasting was because it was at that first stage when, as a church, we were shared and told that Mike, our pastor, would be leaving, and for us to be involved in that process and to commit to it. So that was why we decided to spend that time praying and fasting. So to start the morning off, I'm just going to read those verses that are behind us. So 1 Peter 2, 3 to 5. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Chris and Kirsty now to come up as living stones to share something that's been happening in the last week, things that have been happening in Nepal and also things that have been happening to do with Nepal, but actually in this school as well.
Good morning, everybody. I was asked if I would come and... Is that better? I was asked if I would come and tell you how the last week has been for me. Many of you know that I have family in Nepal, as do Nick and Gemma and the children as well. And I would like to say thank you for all your prayers. But first of all, it's been a very emotional week for me. A desperate feeling of need for information about the family and INF and Nepal. Initially, were they all right? And that only took about 4 hours before we knew they were all right, so that was wonderful. And we praise God that when this earthquake happened, they were all together in the house, and that is very rare. Sandra had only just come back from a medical camp, so it was really wonderful that they were all together. They weren't scattered around. It's very strange that we heard so quickly. There's no water, there's no electricity, there's no phone lines, but mobile phones and broadband have been maintained. So communication is quite good. They've been able to communicate and send information out quite easily. They have now returned to their home. The first few nights they slept in the open because it wasn't safe, but they are now sleeping in their home. Sleep isn't easy, every time there's another earthquake, and there has been another 100 earthquakes since the original one, over 100, some as strong as 5 or 6, every time there's an earthquake, there's an alarm goes off to warn everybody. So alarms and earthquakes are not very easy to sleep through. But the other night, night before last, they had 6.5 hours with no alarms, so they had a good bit of sleep. For me at home, it's been endlessly doing emails and answering phone calls. All my friends from around the country and around the world, I've had cousins from New Zealand and all sorts of people wanting information. So I've spent a lot of time giving out information, very aware of God's peace. Although it's scary, wondering what it's like out there, Hannah and Kirsty and I have all been to Nepal. We know how difficult it is in normal life. So with all this going on, it really is very difficult. Just for your information, there are 2.5 million people live in Kathmandu alone. People think Kathmandu might not be a very big city. It's a very big city. It's very sprawling, very narrow streets in many places. The airport is a few miles out of town, and there's only a single dual carriage road into the town that has to go over a bridge. So when they say on the news that the aid isn't getting through, I'm not really surprised. They don't have any heavy lifting gear. I know they've said that they seem to be holding it up at customs, but actually getting lorries in and out and away is not easy. And the other thing that they're very short of is helicopters. They only have a few in Nepal, and they're going to need a lot more to get aid out to all the outlying places. INF, all the people in INF initially were involved in the quake. So it took them a few days to get themselves organised. Where could they get water? Were their families and everybody that worked with them okay? But they are now getting themselves organised, and from, I think, about Wednesday, Thursday on, they have been sending things out. There's been medical teams gone out and lorries of goods, and the local youth in the church have been helping out as well. If you want any information, one of the best places to go is the INF website and also the Tear Fund website. Tear Fund and INF have been very good at putting out information, and that's where I've been getting my information from. I've only spoken to James for about 3 minutes on one occasion, so all of my information has come from other sources, a lot from Facebook. So we may think Facebook is a bit of a... But in actual fact, in this case, it's been absolutely brilliant, because Sandra's been able to put things on Facebook, and we've all been immediately able to see it, so that's been great. But Kirsty has had something happen to her this week.
I go to some of our school, and on Tuesday, it's all been in the news a lot, and everyone's been getting really there. And on Tuesday, my tutor kind of opened up that if anyone wanted to do some fundraising, then they could do. And I'm not normally the person that would stand up to lead and organise things. But Tuesday night, I had this idea of a Rocky Road sale, kind of for Rocky Roads ahead for Nepal. And so we asked around house group that night, and I was expecting maybe 3 or 4 things, or maybe trays of Rocky Road that I could sell. But everybody really wanted to get involved, and as more people heard about it, everyone was just baking more and more Rocky Road. And I was really overwhelmed. I had about 8 or 9 trays of Rocky Road within just 2 days. So that morning, I did it Friday morning, I was really worried about selling it all. I kind of left part of it at home, thinking that the school wasn't big enough to eat all this Rocky Road. But at break, it almost completely sold out, and I had to text my mum to bring in reinforcements for lunchtime. It raised over £180, It was really amazing. And the teachers were all just really shocked at how much it did raise, because normally cake sales would raise about 30. So it was really amazing that it had raised so much. And it was a really good witness for the church, because people would ask me, like, did you make all of this? Like, how did you get all the rocky roads? And it was church. It was people coming together and just stepping up. You just say something and then everyone just pulled together. So it was really good. Yeah. So hopefully that have made a little bit of difference. And it was just really nice to, we were praying and praying, but it was really nice to just do something and feel like you're making your physical difference. Yeah. Thank you.
Shall we just pray for a minute? Yeah. Lord, we want to pray for the chinneries and the chinneries that are over there in Nepal, and all the difficult situations that they hear of and witness. Lord, we pray for everything that is going on, and the difficulties, the practicalities of getting the equipment that have maybe left the Europe or the United States to Nepal, and how this will be actually used. Lord, we pray for the safety of those who are over there, for the suffering of those who have lost a close member of their families, for all the schools, the hospitals that have been disturbed by the distractions. Lord, we pray for this country. Lord, bless them as they are, where they are, and bring them, Lord, to a place where they can start living again. Amen.
Right, good morning, everyone. I want to ask you a question, and that is, do you know him?
Yes.
Oh, that was better than I thought. I thought I might feel how Mike feels on a Sunday when he asks us those questions. So, if you know him, how do you know that you know him? So, if you want to get to know someone and really know them, then we need to be in relationship with them. We need to have a relationship somehow. We need to know the kind of things that they enjoy or the things that they dislike. And we need to talk, we need to listen to that person. And that is how we get to know someone. And obviously we've been talking from that verse about taste and see. You know, taste that the Lord is good. And in order to know that the Lord is good, we need to experience him and we need to know him. So we're going to have a little quiz to find out how well we know each other, okay? So what we're going to do, it's a baby quiz, and it's called Who's That Baby? Da, da, da. So we're going to have pictures of a baby that will come up on the screen in a minute, and have a look at that baby, and you'll have three choices as to who you think it might be, and the pictures of those possible babies will come up. And I want you to decide whether you think it's A, B, or C, and then we'll ask the real baby to stand up, and that baby will come, and probably a little bit older than maybe those pictures, and tell us how they know that they know Jesus. Hello, Matthew. Right, Matt, could we have the first baby, please? Baby A. Okay, so have a good look at that little cute baby in his bath. Or her bath, maybe. Yep. And so, could that baby be A, Matt Coombs, B, Ojan, who's not here this morning, or C, Jerry Parr? So have a little look at that baby and those three possibles. So if you think it's Matt, put your hand up. Okay, you think it's Matt, right? If you think it's Ojan, put your hand up. And if you think it's Jerry, put your hand up. You can't mistake those cheeks, can you? Jerry. Jerry, do you know him?
Yes.
Right, come and tell us how you know that you know him.
I actually asked the family over tea last night what I should say, and they said I should say, hello, my name's Bob. They're really helpful at times, aren't you, Jonah? Yeah, really, really helpful. How do I know Jesus? I'm going to tell you two little stories. One goes back quite a few years till I was 13. That's quite a few years. My dad had a job that he took up, and he spent 2 years on Valium. I seemed to be the only one in our family that would stand up to him, because he'd come home and complain to Mum that this hadn't been done or that hadn't been done. And I got to the point where I couldn't take it, it felt like, anymore. And so I called out to God at the age of 13 for help. I can't say there's a particular answer, but I do know that at 14, I knew the Lord was good and I was baptised. Looking back on that, our church didn't have a baptistry like we don't, but actually no other church in our village had one either. So I had to go about 20 miles away to another church to be baptised. I look back on that time and realise I really knew the Lord was good. Some of you will also know that in later life I've done several jobs, but now I am a chaplain in a school. I'm employed by the Bath and Wells Church of England Diocese, where I'm known as the nearly Church of England person, because they know that I don't worship in the local Church of England community, but here. The job is great, but from time to time I think, why am I here? No one's had one of those in-depth conversations that I'm supposed to be there for, you know. Yes, I do the first aid, I drive the minibus and sit in meetings interminably. And I cried out for God just about a month ago and said, just why? Why am I here? A couple of days later, two of our sixth formers at the new sixth came to the door. And the one behind was going, you need to speak to him. You need to speak. I've got to speak to him. They're two lads that didn't normally frequent the area that I have for them to come and to meet and to drop into. So I didn't know them particularly well. Turns out that the lad in front who I needed to talk to, his stepdad, who had been his stepdad for many years, who he loved dearly, had been involved in a car accident the weekend before, and 3 days later had died. And we sat and we chatted. We answered all the questions that I could. We talked about what that meant for him and going on, and he was very caring about his twin brother and his mum and what they were going through. And he ended up going back to lessons. And I sat in the office and went, whew, whew. And then I heard God saying, Jesus saying, this is why you are here. This is why you are here. The Lord is good. It's not always easy, but he's good.
Thanks, Jerry. Okay, Matt, could we have baby two, please? Oh. Okay, is that baby A, Joel, B, James, or C, Will? So have a little look at that baby. If you think that baby is A, Joel, please put your hand up. Okay. If you think it is James, please put your hand up. Okay, not too many. And if you think it's Will, please put your hand up. Right, okay. Would the real baby stand up, please? Joel, do you know him? How do you know that you know him?
Because I love him. Yes, I did. I gave my heart to Jesus.
You did, didn't you? And what do you
What do you do, Joel, sometimes if you hurt yourself or you're poorly, what's the first thing that you always think about doing?
Ask my mum to pray.
You don't. Joel is extremely good that if he hurts himself or something's wrong, he always prays and he always catches me unaware because I think about doing something practical and he says, but mummy, we need to pray about it. And it's just so lovely. That's the first thing that he always does. Or even if he's got bad dreams or he always wants the prayer and he knows God is good, don't you?
Yes.
Yes, good boy. Well done.
Well done, Joel. You put us all to shame. Okay, could we have the last baby, please, Matt? And there's a little baby with a very cute chuckle. Right, is that baby A, Kirsty? B, Poppy? Or C, Emmeline? So, if you think that baby is A, Kirsty, please put your hand up, okay? Just a few of you. If you think it is Poppy, please put your hand up. Okay, and if you think it's Emmeline, please put your hand up. Okay, I've got bad news for you. Emmeline's not here today. Would the real baby please stand up? And it's Kirsty. Kirsty, do you know him? Great. Tell us how you know that you know him.
I was a bit confused at the question at first because if someone asked me, do I know Jesus, I've never actually met Jesus as a man. So I kind of was thinking, I kind of know him. But I have seen him work through other things in my life, so I can read about him. And I can learn about him as a man, but I've seen him work through other parts of my life. When I pray, I see him do stuff. So in that kind of way, I do know him. But yeah, it is a confusing question. Do you know Jesus? I've never met Jesus. Well, not yet. So yeah, he knows me, but I kind of know him. So yeah.
Thank you, Kirsty.
Good morning. Now, to prepare us for Linda's talk, we've got a building project. And James is going to be our master builder. And he's going to build using words from the Bible. I love the Bible. The first time I ever remember coming across the Bible was when I was just five and I had to learn some verses to be in the nativity play at school. You're never too young to start learning about the Bible. And Joel has shown us that this morning. Joel is, how old is Joel? He's 5'2". Good age, Joel. And he's told us that he already knows Jesus. And then who was that just? Somebody was just saying, sorry, it's my age, that you learn about Jesus, you get to know him better by reading the Bible. It's one of the ways we do it. And I would just urge that however young you are, if you can't read yet, get your mums and dads to read the Bible to you. And if you're old enough, start reading it yourselves or learn bits of it. And the more you read and the more you get, and when you're as old as me, and that's quite old, you know quite a lot. And the more I know, the more I love it. So that's just a little plug to read the Bible. Now, I need you to help me find 6 words from the Bible that James is then going to use to build his project. And to do that, we're going to use sword drill. Now, some of you may know about sword drill and some of you won't. In the Bible, in Ephesians, the word of God is called the sword of the Spirit. So sword drill is where we're going to find verses. Now, I'll just give you a demonstration. First of all, we have to keep the sword in a safe place. That's called a sheath. So we sheath the sword. Now, children, I want you all to do this. Afraid you can't do it with an electronic device. If you've got your Bible on the phone, can't play, I'm afraid. You need a proper paper Bible. So get your Bible. I hope a few children have got it. If not, the adults might need to help. So our first instruction is going to be sheath your swords. So you put your sword under your arm. I can see older people know how to do this because we did it when we were children. So sheath your sword, and then I'll read out the text that you have to find. Within that text is a key word that I'm then going to point out to James, and he will use that word to build. So what you have to do when I read the text, you then have to find it. No cheating with electronic devices, but you can use the index. If you don't know where the book is, look in the index. That's not cheating. That's just learning to find where it is. So sheath your swords, then I'll read the verse, and then I'll say, draw your sword. And then you get the Bible out, and you look for the verse. And the first one to find it, put your hand up. And then I'll ask you to read it out. I'll come with the microphone to you. Right, are you ready for this? So remember, no cheating with electronic devices. So, I think I have to... I'm not quite sure how I can do this with only two hands, but I'll try. Right, sheath your swords. And the first verse... Yeah, but then... No, but I... Oh, okay, okay. The first verse that you need to find is in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians... Keith, I can see you cheating. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Julian has it. Any children have it? Jemima.
So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
Okay, I'll shout just for this bit. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live in him, strengthened in the faith you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The key verse in that, James, is Jesus. That's always the answer for Bible questions, isn't it? If you're not sure, say Jesus. Okay, sheath your swords. The verse, the next verse is Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 3. Draw your swords.
Verses 3 and 4. Remember, O Lord, how I've walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah.
Yeah, thank you. The key word there, James, is devotion. Okay, word number 3 is holiness. Oh, yes, holiness. No, I shouldn't say that. Anyway, the word... I'm good at this, aren't I? It's holiness, but it is in, and I want the whole verse read. Oh, dear. Sheath your swords. And it's Psalm 29, verse 2. Draw your swords. No, sorry. Would have done. Julian.
Oh. Said he'd found it before he had. That's cheating. 29 verse 2 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness.
And the word is? holiness. Okay, sheathe your swords. The next verse is Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 2. Draw your swords. I'll have this right by the last one.
Hang on, I have to hold it right out in front of me. But among you there must not... Oh, is that verse 3?
Jemima again. Jemima's very fast.
Is it verse 2?
Oh, sorry, Sally.
I've got your problem.
Verse 2, Sally.
And live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
A fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Sacrifice is our key word. Okay, sheath your swords. The verse is from Romans, chapter 14, verse 17. Draw your swords. Oh, Maisie.
Seventeen. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Well done, Maisie. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The key word is Holy Spirit. Spirit. Okay, sheathe your swords. Last one. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Draw your swords. Joe Dawkes, very fast.
Luke 10, 27. Can't see that right there, sorry. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself.
And the key word there is love. So that's our cross built, and Linda is going to come and tell us about what those words can mean for us. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. As you know, this morning we're looking at these verses from 1 Peter, which are back up there, which you can read. And as Sharon shared at the beginning of the service, these verses are ones that keep cropping up. It was ones that God spoke very clearly to Sharon. But if some of you were at an evening meeting a few weeks ago when Rob spoke, he, in the afternoon, had been going to preach on something quite different. And then God spoke to him quite clearly and said that he had to share from these verses. And also, if some of you were at POP in April, when we had just some time of waiting on God, again, these verses came up, but also the theme of these verses kept cropping up. So what we wanted to do this morning was to look at what God is saying. Because I think we need to listen. If God's speaking to us, it's not just a matter of thinking, great, God's speaking, but actually, what is he saying and what is he asking of us? And I think these verses are quite interesting, that they start on verse 3, which is, now you have tasted that the Lord is good. I just find that quite amusing, God's sense of humour, in a week of fasting, that he talks about tasting of him. And often we can find comfort in other things, in food, in things we do, in TV, in other stuff. But he's wanting us to come to him, to taste of him, and know that he is good. And I want to ask a question this morning. Is our experience of God good? I'm not asking you if your circumstances are good. I'm asking you if you know God is good in your circumstances and in your life. You know, we can go through stuff in life which is hard. We know that. But what we need to know is that God is good in it. And I think if we go right back to Adam and Eve, when they were in the Garden of Eden and they were tempted by the snake, at that point in time, often people think, well, that was maybe that the first sin was maybe that sin of rebellion or disobedience. But why did they disobey? And I think maybe the answer is in the fact that they maybe didn't wholly believe that God was good. God had given them the Garden of Eden and it was amazing and beautiful, but he kept something back from them as far as they saw it. They weren't allowed near that tree. And maybe the enemy came in and said, do you not think God is good? He's holding out on you. And sometimes we can think in our lives, God is good, yeah, that we believe he's good, but why is he holding out on me? Why isn't he coming through for me in certain situations? But we've actually got to recognize that we either believe this book or we don't. And it's stuff that I've wrestled with because of our family situation. Is God good? And what I've come to is the belief that yes, he is. And yes, he can be good in my situation. And he's come through for me time and time again in my situation because he is good. My life might not be great at times, but God doesn't change. He can't change. He is always good. He's always true to his word. In verse 2, in the verse before this, it talks about babies craving milk. Now, we all know that sense, or we've heard that baby cry, haven't we, when they're hungry. We, especially as a mother, when that piercing cry comes, and that child will not be, nothing else will do. You know, you can put a toy in front of them, you can sing to them, you can dance around the room with them. If they're hungry, they will keep crying and crying and crying until you feed them. That hunger is the driving force behind that cry. Do we hunger after God with that same thing? Or do we kind of snack on God a bit? We have a bit of God here when things, you know, when we want to, but maybe we look in other areas for God to fill us or for other things to fill us, sorry. But God wants us to crave him like a baby craves milk. When I went to Bible college, which was a long time ago, it was just a year's course, but the first lecture that we had, we were told that you will hear a lot about the Bible. You will learn a lot about the Bible. You'll have great revelations about stuff you never thought of before. He says, but make sure you do not negate your time with God. That special time of your walk with God is so important. You may learn lots about him, but you have to be with him. You have to be in relationship with him. You have to have those special times with him, that quiet time or whatever you want to call it. And while I was there, I made a point of getting up early every single morning because it was the only time I had, because it was that we all lived together and I was living with five other women in a room. And the only time I had on my own was first thing in the morning. And that to me was very precious times that made the rest of the course so much more because I gave that time to God and my relationship with him grew. Are you in a daily living experience with Jesus? Now it says we've to come to him as a living stone. Now that is slightly odd because we don't normally think of stones being living, do we? But in the Old Testament, the priests approached God, and this was through the temple. The temple was made of bricks. They weren't alive, the bricks, but they met God in the temple. But now we have a privilege of approaching God through Jesus, who is the living stone. Jesus is the living stone. And as we come to him and give our lives to him, his Holy Spirit enters us and we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's something I can't get my head around. It's such an amazing thought to think that the God of the whole universe comes to live in us when we give our hearts to him. And in verse 4, it says we've to come to him, and that means to keep coming. It's not just coming that once when we give our heart to God, but we've to keep coming to him. It's a continual thing. And it's allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and transform us. You know, we can sometimes think, well, hold on, God, I've got to sort this out first in my life, and then I'll come to you, and then I'll give more of my life to you. But he's saying, no, I want you to come to me first, and I'll help sort these things out. A few years ago, I felt that God gave me a picture, and it was of I was on a road, and Jesus was up ahead of me, and he was coming towards me, and I was walking towards him, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and there was a breeze in the air. And the closer I got to him, the more the stuff that was covering me that just wasn't nice was just disappearing. It was just leaving me. The breeze was just washing it off me. And there was that sense that if we keep our eyes on Jesus, he will deal with the stuff in our lives. Yes, it still takes our will to be engaged, and we have choices to make. But the more time we spend with him, we'll find that the things that maybe used to hold us will just disappear. They'll fall away from us as we have him as our centre and as our vision. And then with that, the characteristics of holiness that will grow is humility and love, tolerance, one another, discipline, peace and faithfulness. And personal devotion to Christ increases corporate integration into the church. You know, God wants us to be a spiritual house. He doesn't want us as lone bricks. And the picture of us being built into a temple isn't us of all being identical stones, all shoulder to shoulder, feeling that we can't move and that we can't be ourselves. But it's of God wants to make us into a community. He wants to join us together so that no brick will be identical. But the structure that he's building is organic. It's continually changing shape. And it changes the shape of the dimensions of the people that are around, that are part of the community. The beauty is not in the crafted stone or expensive gold or the precious jewels, but it's in the holiness and faith of his people. We all know what it's like to see somebody that you know that loves Jesus and you see them visibly glow, don't we? And that's what God wants us to be, is that amazing, beautiful building that he's creating where we shine God. If some of you were at the pop that we had in April, one of the words that was shared was about a dry stone wall. And there was that sense of maybe God wants to take us out of where we are, of where we're maybe already serving or maybe not serving, and plant us somewhere else. And I felt God was saying this to us, that actually there might be something in you that's saying, well, I've done this, whatever it is, for such a long time, and I can do it really well in my own strength, and you know, I'm quite good at it. But maybe God's putting something within you that's that little seed of a gifting or a desire to do something different. Maybe it is some of the things that were mentioned earlier of areas that were lacking in the church. And maybe God's speaking to you, but you're thinking, ah, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I'm not very good at it. I'd like to do it, but I'm not sure. Well, there's a sense that actually maybe God's calling you out of the comfort zone to be courageous and taking you somewhere which might be a bit scary, but he wants to grow you. You know, God doesn't want a comfortable people. He doesn't want us just to be all sitting nicely thinking, oh, this is lovely. He wants to grow us as a church and for us to blossom in the gifting that he's given us. So just maybe if you're saying, well, maybe I'd like to do that, but I don't know if I can, there are other people in the areas that can help you. I was going to have a visual aid, it didn't quite come together this morning, of people. And I don't know if you've ever seen this happen, where you get people in a circle and they're really tightly bound together and you can actually sit down on one another. So there's a sense that you're dependent on others, but you're also gaining strength from others as well. And there's a giving and there's a receiving. And I believe as a church, that's what God wants from us, is to give. There'll be some people we need to give to, but other times we will receive. And it's a constant flow of giving and receiving. That's how God's made the church. He doesn't want us to be independent, where we're standing in our own strength and just holding hands, where there's room for the enemy to come in. But he wants us to be shoulder to shoulder, to be watching each other's back, to be living in a life of community. And that might be a sacrificial way to live. It might not be a way that you would choose to live. But God doesn't want us just to be dutiful in what we do. He wants us to be devoted to what we do. And that means a daily sacrifice, a daily laying aside of our own desires and following him, putting our energy and resources at his disposal and trusting in him to guide us. You know, when you waken up the morning, do you say, God, would you bless my day? Would you be with me? Would you show me the way forward today? Would you be in all that I do? Would you come with me? And that's commendable and good. Or do you say, God, what are you doing today? I want to partner with you. I want to maybe lay aside the stuff I was going to do and do what you want. That might mean that little thought of phoning somebody or emailing somebody or maybe stopping to speak to somebody in the street when maybe that wasn't what you planned, but actually God's saying, I want you to just be in contact with that person today. And actually when we come into the slipstream of what God's doing, often those are the times we have amazing testimonies of something that God does, because we've given that time to God, because we've come in line with what he's doing that day. Instead of asking him to come and serve us, we are here to serve our God. Last week, when Gary shared, he talked about, did we have an affection for Jesus or did we love him? And I want to go one step further and say, not just do you love him, but are you in love with him? You know, when you're first in love with somebody, you just want to be with them. I remember when John and I first got together, it was a bit of a long-distance relationship. So I was up in Edinburgh and he was down in Essex. So it was loads of phone calls and there was loads of emails and texting, but nothing beat actually just being together. And when you're together with somebody you love, you don't actually mind what you're doing. You don't really care about what you're doing. That doesn't matter. You'll do anything as long as you're with them. Is that the kind of relationship we have with Jesus? That we'll do anything for him because we love him. It's not out of duty, but it's out of a devotion for him. And how does this come? How do we get to that place of loving Jesus like that? I think we ask him. You know, I think if you're feeling, God, I don't love you the way I should, God, would you please show me? And when we say, God, would you come and share me with your love? He wants to come and love on us. And as he loves on us and we accept that and we give him free access into our lives, then what happens is that our love for him grows. And as our love for him grows, automatically our love for other people grows. But we need to be spending that quality time with Jesus. We need to be allowing the Holy Spirit free access into our life. And I think if we believe that God is good, really believe he's good, there's more of a sense that we're willing to trust him with our lives and say, yes, God, you can do whatever you want. Yes, God, I lay my life down because I believe you're a good God and you will do good in my life. So let's look at the cross just to finish off that we have up here. These living stones that have been built. On the bottom, we have Jesus. Jesus is what our life should be founded on. Are you completely founded on Jesus? Or is there one foot on Jesus and one foot just on the ground, just so that you've got a little bit of security and doing things your own way, but I'll trust him with some stuff? So the question is, are you founded on Jesus? Second one is devotion. Jesus was devoted to his Father. And he is devoted to us. He's completely devoted to us. The question is, are we devoted to him? Or do we sometimes serve him out of a sense of duty? Holiness. God's desire is for us to become more like him. So will we allow the Holy Spirit free access into our lives? Sacrifice. Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice, didn't he? Something that we could never do in return. But he gave everything for us. Maybe there's something that he's speaking to you this morning about, of giving up, of changing. Is there a sacrifice that he's asking of you? Because if there is, maybe it's the time to move into that and see him come through in that. And love. Love makes all this possible, doesn't it? It's, as I said, it's that amazing love that God has for us. When we really get how much God loves us, there's then that freedom for us to love him and to love others. So thank you for listening this morning. And just to finish, Ian, wherever he's gone, would love to just pray with people, if that's okay.
Everyone, good morning. Oh, I just want to do a prayer for Mum today. And it's your kingdom come. Father, I pray for Mummy that my mother would be fine. If in Jesus' name, we pray for Mummy. If we don't know, and we pray for everybody. We pray in England. Their name shows they are represented here today. We just want the name of Jesus exalted. Amen. We just want this time and all. No, it isn't. Yeah. For one, will try to lift up your voice and tell the Lord you love him. Come on. Just cheer.
Let's just take a moment while we're getting ready to worship. Let's just shut our eyes. And I know it's noisy today, isn't it? It's a bit noisy. But we're not going to let that get between us and the living God this morning. This is our precious time with our Father. God, we just confess to you, Father, the times when... Well, where we're at with you, really, Lord, how well do we feel we know you? We might come to you today feeling, weighed down with our uselessness, with the things we haven't done, Lord. But we know you wouldn't want us to feel that way. You're just hungry to meet with us, Lord. You don't want us to come with all our baggage, Father. You want us to put that down and just walk towards you and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I do want to get to know you better. And like Kirsty said, I have seen you. I've seen glimmers of you in prayers answered, in a smile on someone's face, in a word in season when someone came and said something that was just at the right time for me. Just like with Jerry, when he said at work, when he needed you to affirm him, you brought that situation to answer his need of you, Lord God. And that's when it gets exciting. That is when things really start to happen. And we know we serve the living God. We might find the Bible boring. We might find those pages dry. But like Angela finds it so exciting because maybe we've never really put in the effort to dig deep into that word, so that we could have that excitement that Angela has. Maybe we need to get up and do something and stop moaning about it. But even if the Bible does seem dry, maybe we haven't really prayed for someone to be healed and actually seen you at work, Lord God. Maybe we haven't bothered to step out and do anything in this wonderful church, in this wonderful community. Maybe we've never stepped out like Kirsty stepped out to do that cake stall with fear and trembling. She was blessed, Father. She was living life to the full, Father. Because when we step out for you, we're living life to the full, Lord. Life becomes full color rather than black and white. Father, we thank you for that. We want to know you, Lord. Lord, if you want to know the Lord this morning more, then just put your hand up now. Just put your hand up, not in front of me, in front of God this morning, and show him that you want to know him more. Say, God, I want more of you this morning. That's about three of us, five of us. Anyone else? Let me encourage you. Say, I want more of you, Lord, this morning. I am hungry for you, Lord God. I don't even know the half of you, and there's so much to know. It never gets boring. It never ends. It goes on and on and on. There is so much to you. We never get tired of you, and you never get tired of us. Thank you, Lord God.